Well, good morning, Trinity Covenant Church. My name is Austin Bailey. I am one of the pastors here, and we are just so grateful that you're both joining us in person, but also online. Our prayer is that God, who is alive today, will meet us, that we will see and hear and experience his love, that we might go away and learn to love others well. About 10 years ago, we were having Thanksgiving as a family, and that one was particular because it just came 2 weeks after that we had had a funeral for my father. My father had passed away from cancer kind of suddenly, and we, my brother, my sister, and I were all living in Chicago, and we invited my mom, instead of being home and away from us, to join us in Chicago. And one of the things that I love about our Bailey meals is we comfort ourselves in food. I don't know if anybody else does that, but Thanksgiving particularly is one of special, because we find it in food that our table looks like this. And I don't know how your table looks, but ours has maybe a little bit, a small bird, a turkey, but lots of sides and a ton of desserts. Like, we love our sides and our desserts. And as we were making it, and my mom, my sister, myself, and my brother were all cooking, and we looked down, and we were so hungry to eat this. And then as we went to the table, we had set the table like we'd always set it. And one of the things that we looked at as we all walked to the table, there was a setting at the head of the table, and I know how you do it, but that setting was always my father's. My dad always sat at the head of the table. And we all stopped and paused, and it wasn't for very long, but you could tell something in the room as we all paused and we all looked. We all kind of felt the same thing happen. It was fresh. We asked, like, is it ever going to be the same without him? It doesn't feel right to sit where he sat. Who's going to be the one that blesses the table as my dad did every day? And as we set in those doubts and those questions, the questions are we going to heal? Is this ever going to become easier? Is God going to be able to do what he says he's going to do and bring healing and restoration to our hearts? We set at the table and then we begin to share those. The questions, the cries, the frustrations, the laments. And the funny thing is, we were in a small Chicago apartment around a small table. And we begin to share. And I think that's exactly the same way that I see the disciples here in Luke 24. They're in a small house around a small table. They're eating together and they're questioning together. And I love that this is where Jesus enters into the room and that Jesus says, and what we need to hear today is that Jesus isn't afraid of our doubts. He wants us to bring them to him. That Jesus shows up saying, I'm not afraid of your questions, your doubts, your uncertainties. I just want you to bring them to me. And so let's take a look at John 24 to kind of get ourselves situated in the text and what God is calling us to. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. It is always good to have the living word in front of you as we read it together. Up front is going to be the New International Version. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And it says this. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing among them. And he said, peace be with you. But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? Jesus asked. Why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands and look at my feet. You can see that it is really me. Touch me. Make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. And as he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet still. They stood there doubting, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything to eat? And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. And then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms all must come true. Then he opened their minds to understand these many scriptures. And I want to come together and bring in some context so that we know what we're talking about. When we talk about Lord, that Jesus is Lord over our doubts, what they are exactly what the disciples were dealing with. That they had been journeying and traveling and ministering with Jesus. And they had come to a certainty that he was the Messiah. But now they weren't. See, doubt is something that you thought or you knew to be true, but now you're not so certain that it is. The doubt is not unbelief, but something that you were certain was true, but now you're questioning that certainty, that truth. In amidst the disciples, I want to tell you, every single one of them doubted. That I know often we hear Thomas as the one who is the doubter, the loudest one maybe in the group about his doubts. But hear me that every single one of them doubted. A few verses earlier, when some of the disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus, Jesus appears to them. They don't recognize him, and they're asking him what they're talking about. And they say they're talking about Jesus, and they say this, a confession to Jesus. They say, "We thought he was the Messiah." We thought he was the Messiah. All of us thought that this guy that we were following, they gave our lives to, we thought he was the Messiah, but we're not so sure. Day one after the resurrection, they were doubting that he was who he said he was. And I wonder for us, a week out of Easter, if we might be in the same place that last week we're raising our hands that he is the Lord, that he is the Messiah, that he has come, he is our hope, he is the resurrection, he is the truth and the life, and then this week happened. Maybe you got some news this week that you're like, I don't know if I'm so sure that he's got what he says he's got. I'm not so sure that this week has happened, hadn't had me question that is God really who he says he is? Is Jesus the Messiah? Has he got everything in control? Is he making all things new? Because when I live my life, I don't see always that newness coming in. Because the week happens, and we doubt. But Jesus isn't afraid of our doubts. He asks us to bring him to them. Jesus appears and asks them a question, an invitation. Why do you doubt? Not in shame and condemnation, but an invitation. He's not afraid because he understands that he is the answer to their doubts. That Jesus shows up, not through the door, not knocking, appears before them in a room, invites them in to hear their doubts and says, "This, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Touch my side. The answer to your doubts are my wounds. My wounds are the testimony that I am alive. That what you were doubting and what you were uncertain of is my wounds are testimony that I am alive." Let me be honest with each other and with you that our doubts are absolutely and utterly alive. If you say they aren't, you're fooling yourself. Our doubts are alive. They're working in our heart and our head to deceive us, to make us uncertain of something that we once were sure of. But just as your doubts are alive, Jesus says, "So am I. So am I." The certainty that I'm alive, that even though you see my wounds and my hands and my feet and my side, be sure that I am alive. Touch me. Come, see that I am alive. The answer to your doubts are found not in concepts or information or good slogans put together that you can remember all the time. It's in a person. That Jesus shows up and says, "The answer to what you're uncertain of, my friends, are found in me. That your answers are found in me." So Jesus is asking you to continue to be in that relationship with him, to see, to approach him, to commune with him, to build that relationship with him. And then he says this, that even after he showed hands and feet and he ate with them, they still doubted. So Jesus then opened their minds to understand what Scripture had said about him. And this is incredibly important. And this is something that we talk a lot about with our students, with my kids, and with people, is that a lot of people, and I hear saying, can we have a relationship with Jesus outside of Scripture? It's hard to read Scripture. It's boring. I find inconsistencies. I don't know. The people that wrote it were pretty messed up. Yada, yada, yada. I hear it all the time of people saying, can we have Jesus without being so attached to the Scriptures? And it's not me that says you can't. It's actually Jesus that says you can't. Jesus says that I'm alive and that a relationship with me is the answer. And now I'm going to reveal it in Scripture. That it's not Jesus that says you can have me without Scripture. Jesus says that I am the one who reveals it as the living. I am alive, but so is my word. And how incredibly important it is to know that his answer not only comes in the person of Jesus, but is affirmed in Scripture. Because it's so important as we learn to commune and walk with Jesus, is to understand who he is, and to understand and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and able to discern who the Holy Spirit is. And found in Scripture. And that's why we sink ourselves in there, because what happens as we're growing in relationship with Jesus, as we're going to him to answer our doubts, we are trying to listen. And a part of our listening is discerning the voices that are us, that are the evil one, or actually who the Holy Spirit's voice is to recognize to under its distinct difference between our own voice and the evil one's voice, and that is affirmed in the Gospels. In God's good word is how we understand that those things that we think we're hearing, that when we're in a relationship with Jesus, pursuing after him, the things that we think are good God-ordained ideas, when we test them against Scripture, they're affirmed. That's how we know. And that's what Jesus is saying, that your uncertainties, as you seek answers, that's how you'll understand whether the answers to your doubts are your own feelings, whether it's the evil one trying to pull you away subtly, or if it is the Holy Spirit speaking into your life, which will be affirmed by his hands, his feet, his side, his invitation into a relationship, and then affirmed by his word. This is why we need to be people who see Jesus with our doubts as someone we go to personally in a relationship, but we don't do that apart from his word. And here's the biggest thing that I really am wanting and need to say is that my biggest fear is that we address and we come to Jesus and we come to his Scripture, we look at it, we see it, we hear it, that Jesus is Lord over our doubts. He's not afraid of our doubts, he wants to bring it, but we actually don't go away changed. My biggest fear is that we'll go in here, we'll see Jesus, he'll minister to us, we'll be together in communion, we'll worship him, and then we'll walk away as if nothing has changed. But as we get into Scripture, we see that in this moment, Jesus changes everything. If we continue to follow him, this is what it looks like. That as the disciples were gathered together, as they were sitting in a small house, in a small room, or on a small table, eating together, doubting together, insecure together, frustrated together, lamenting, hurting, praying, doubting together, that Jesus enters into the room and affirms that his question of why do you doubt is not a condemnation, but an affirmation of an invitation to come. That I'm not condemning what you're doing. And that tells me that Jesus, as a gospel-centered community, that we are to be people with our doubts that share them together. That we are to share, not solve, our doubts and insecurities. That to solve, it's to put ourselves in the place of Jesus. But we're supposed to utterly share our doubts, our insecurities, our anxieties, our questions, our fears together in a community. Jesus appears to the disciples in the room together, and he doesn't take one disciple off by himself, Thomas, and say, dude, you're the loudest. Can you keep it a little quiet? Can I like work on you, and then you could stop making all of our friends doubt? He collectively together says, all y'all, you all, why are you doubting? Why are you doubting? Is it, The gospel of Jesus Christ as followers, the community of Jesus Christ, is an invitation and in a body where all of us share together what is going on in our lives, and that includes our doubt. If we are the body of Christ, if we are followers of Jesus who are living gospel-centered lives, means that we are in community sharing our doubts and insecurities. That if we're followers of Jesus who are trying to deal with our doubts, insecurities, questions, anxieties, apart from community, we're living antithetical to the gospel. And that's one of the things that we have to get real, real clear. That Jesus, in all of Scripture, never calls his people to have just an individual relationship with him apart from everybody else. It is to have an individual relationship with him and also in community. That he calls us to be one body that shares our doubts, to share our concerns, to share our anxieties, to bring them to Jesus in order that we share them and grow together, because I have my doubts too. If I'm honest, I woke up this morning and I was like, why are we even doing it? Like, I know it's the week after Easter, it's Low Sunday, and on top of that, Connecticut decided to put most of their spring break right here. Why are we doing this? And as those doubts creeped in, I began to think about them. What does it matter? What does it matter? What does it matter? I have my own doubts and all my own insecurities. But then the Holy Spirit starts to speak. And I know it because I have a relationship with Jesus, and it's affirmed in Scripture that he says this matters. Coming together in community to share our own doubts, our insecurities, our questions, our vulnerabilities is means to be the body of Christ. That's why constantly, that as Trinity, we're inviting you to be a part of community groups, life groups is what we call them, so that you can do life together, that you can find the gospel where it invites you to bring your doubts, invites you to bring your questions, invites you to bring your insecurities, your uncertainties, your anxieties, and to say, this is a safe place where you can talk about them. The gospel is never about coming in the doors with nothing but certainty. That is not the gospel. Every moment people come to Jesus and ask the question, are you who you say you are? And we still today in community ask that question with each other. Is Jesus really who he says he is? Our job, our call as followers of Jesus is to be in community together, sharing our doubts and our concerns. But not only that, I think one of the things, the reasons why I really believe community is incredibly important and it is a God's call for us in to share our doubts is this. That right at the beginning, sometimes we forget about it, or it goes by so quickly, that Jesus enters in the room. And this is the same Jesus who knows the hearts and the thoughts of the people that he's with. That many times while he was alive before his crucifixion, he understood the hearts and the minds of the people that he was ministering to before they even uttered a word. And in that moment, the same Jesus walks and steps into the room of his disciples who are doubting together, who are questioning together if this guy is even who he says he was. What did we give up to be with him if he's just going to go and die and not be who he says he is? Instead of saying and casting all that doubt out, the first thing that Jesus says, and as followers of Jesus, we need to be gospel people that are revolutionized and transformed by this truth. That before he even begins to answer the doubts, he says this: peace be with you. Peace be among you. And peace be within you. That peace is not understood by concepts. Experienced. And I remember the moment that this became true. As I told you that 2 weeks after my father's passing, we had Thanksgiving. But the 2 weeks before, when we had the service, the celebration of life, we had a reception, we're able to people share their stories. We went back, our family's best friends, both local and from across the country, sat in my mom's tiny little house around a very small table. And we were eating together. And we were all thinking the same thing. God, God, why in the world did you do this? Why in the world did you not fix this? God, why in the world and how in the world are we ever going to be healed? How, why, what are you doing? Do you even know what you're doing? We sat there and we all were lamenting and crying and pouring our hearts out to each other. The questions that we had, how are we going to go on when this big piece of our life has been removed? And is God big enough to fill the void that is left? And before the answers even began to come, peace entered in the room. And I can't tell you or explain to you with concept or understanding of how that happened. But while we were all sitting there mourning, questioning, sharing our insecurities, our anxieties about what had happened, where life goes on, peace entered in the room and settled. And an experience of the Holy Spirit that laid over a place which then was affirmed by Scripture. Philippians 4, Paul says that we are to receive a peace that passes all understanding. The peace that said, peace be with you, peace be among you, that he offered disciples, is the same peace that he offered us as a family as we're sitting there mourning the death of my dad, that we are saying that it doesn't make sense, but peace that passes all understanding be with you, be among you. All the doubts were not pushed out of the way when peace came in, but peace was able to sit and lay over and experience and lay upon us and within us while our doubts still existed. That Jesus shows up with his best friends and allowed doubt to continue to exist, that peace would still exist and lay over that space even before he began to answer the questions, which they desperately wanted him to answer. That we at my house with my mom desperately wanted Jesus to answer, why? What are you doing? Do you even know what you're doing? Tell us so that we might understand. That peace entered into the room before the answers were given. I wonder as a community of faith, if we're not experiencing this peace, is because we're not in community together. That we've lived into a false gospel that says, don't talk about your questions, don't talk about your uncertainties, don't talk about your anxieties, don't talk about them, because that means that there will be no peace. But the gospel says that the good news of Jesus Christ, that peace comes in the midst of doubts, that we say, people, come here and come and be in community, ask your questions. Don't come with all your certainties, please. That's not the gospel. That's not anywhere I read that there's such a certainty amongst the disciples, amongst his followers, that they were able to follow him without any doubt. And today we enter in the room not with all of our stuff, we enter with all of our baggage. And we don't do it alone. If you're doing it alone, let me tell you this. I'm going to say it strongly. If you're doing it alone, you're not living a gospel-centered follower of Jesus' life. You're not. That's not me saying it. That's God's word. If you are choosing to deal with your insecurities, your questions, your anxieties alone and by yourself, or that's the story, the narrative that's been told to you as followers of Jesus, that's not true. Jesus is saying, bring your anxieties, bring your doubts, bring your confusion, bring your uncertainty, and I will lay peace upon you in the midst of your doubts. I wonder if we don't find answers to our doubts because we're not doing it in community. I'm wondering if we don't have peace within our lives that passes all understanding day to day, moment to moment, because we're not doing it in community, that we're doing it isolation apart from the body of Christ. So if you're doing that, or you've heard the narrative that you can fix your doubts by yourselves, I'm telling you, Jesus says that is not the truth. Please bring your anxieties, bring your questions, bring your deepest, darkest pains. Bring them into the body of Christ, which understands, which has their own questions too, that won't seek to answer your questions by my own means. I'm just as broken. I'm just as wounded. I have just as many doubts. But together, let's move ourselves towards a Jesus whose hands and feet and his side and his words are the very thing that will be the answers that we need. And then until we get them, until the Lord answers those, peace will be in our lives. I think that's a good news that the world needs to hear. That peace comes in the midst of all of our anxiety, all of our questions, our doubts. Those don't have to be rid out of your life in order for peace to come. That's good news. If you've never experienced peace, my call would be to join community, to share what you don't know and what you are not certain of, so that peace may rest in your hearts. He's not afraid of your doubts. He just wants you to bring them to him. Let's pray. Jesus, my confession is that I will walk out of these doors and the tendency and likelihood, unless I'm intentional, even I will live the same way that I did before I walked in, before I heard your word. And God, many of us are always looking to you for answers to questions that we have. God, my prayer is that you would bring people in their lives who utterly love you, who are passionate about you, who are pursuing you, who are following you, but also has doubts. God, I pray that we would find communities that would allow us to air those doubts, to air our uncertainties, and not be condemned for our questions. God, that we would model ourselves after you, who allowed your best friends to sit in a room, who were able to see and touch you, but still doubt. God, come, transform us, lay upon us the peace that passes all understanding. God, I need that peace. I need that peace. I need that peace in a world of chaos and things that don't make sense. I need your peace. I need your peace. We need your peace. Holy Spirit, come. We are your children. You are our Father. I ask this in your name. And all God's people said, amen.